This is Booktown. You're new here, aren't you? Maybe I should show you around. You can get anything you want here. Anything you want. Anything you desire. Anything you can imagine. It's all here. It's all free. It's all for you. Come on. I'll show you around. If you've got the guts. This is Booktown. You can get anything you want here. Anything you need. And this is Booktown on KVMR FM in Nevada City. I'm Eric Tome. I'll be with you till 2 p.m. I frequently conduct interviews on this program. Sometimes I read, sometimes I just talk. But today is going to be just about entirely, well, not entirely, it is going to be entirely other people reading. This is, among other things, Thai Heritage Month, National STDs Education and Awareness Month, National Soy Food Month, National Poetry Month, Stress Awareness Month, Fresh Florida Tomato Month, National Pecan Month, and National Soft Pretzel Month. The only one of those that really lends itself to radio is poetry, and I'm going to present a pretty random set of poems, some of which I've culled off the internet source poets.org. Those are almost all contemporary, or certainly within the last 30 or 40 years. Others from various CDs in the KVMR collection, the, what I guess you could call my collection, which is in this case all LPs, and some other LPs lent to me by friends. There's no particular order to this. I'm going to start out a little tentatively with some LPs, and I realize I've not played an LP on KVMR in probably 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure, well, I'm assuming that everything works the way it used to, and we will actually start out with a couple of recordings that I think most people will appreciate purely for their sound, and I hope they do appreciate them. The first is going to be a little bit of the opening lines of Virgil's Aeneid, recited in Latin by C.F. Richards. This is from John F.C. Richards. It's an old Folkways recording that I haven't listened to for years and just happened to pull out when I was going through things today. We also have some Andrei Voznesensky, the Russian poet who was extremely popular in the 60s and 70s, with translations by a number of well-known Western or English-speaking poets, W.H. Auden, Stanley Kunitz, Richard Wilbur, and so on. We'll probably hear one of those. In this case, will probably be the English first and then the Russian, and then we'll just go on into other stuff. About halfway through, I'm going to play a selection that I culled off poets.org, and then we'll probably go back to more random LPs and CDs. So first of all, let's see how this LP of John F.C. Richards reciting Virgil starts.
Aeneidos liber primus, arma virumque cano, Troiae qui primus aboris, Italiam fato profugus, lavinaque venit litera, multum ille et terris iactatus et alto vi superum, saevae memorem iunonis obieram. Multa quoque et bello passus, dum conderet urbem in ferretque deos latio. Genus unde latinum, Albanique patres, atque altae moenia Romae. Musa mihi causas memora, quo numine laeso, quidve dolent regina deum, tot volvere Cassius in signem pietate virum, tot adire labores impularit. Tantaene animis cae lestibus irae.
Goya. I am Goya of the bare field, by the enemy's beak gouged till the craters of my eyes gape. I am grief. I am the tongue of war, the embers of cities on the snows of the year 1941. I am hunger. I am the gullet of a woman hanged, whose body like a bell tolled over a blank square. I am Goya. O grapes of wrath, I have hurled westward the ashes of the uninvited guest and hammered stars into the unforgetting sky like nails. I am Goya.
Goya. Я Goya. Глазницы воронок мне выклевал ворог, слетая на поле ногоя. Я горе, я голос войны, городов головнина снегу 41-го года. Я голод, я горло повешенной бабы, чье тело как колокол било над площадью голой. Я Гоя, о грозди возмездия, взвел залпом на запад я пепел незваного гостя и в мемориальное небо вбил крепкие звезды, как гвозди. Я Гоя.
I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh and eat well and grow strong. Tomorrow I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody'll dare say to me, "Eat in the kitchen, then." Besides, they'll see how beautiful we are and be ashamed. I, too, am America. Droning a drowsy, syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard a Negro play. Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of an old gaslight, he did a lazy sway, he did a lazy sway to the tune of those weary blues. With his ebony hands on each ivory key, he made that poor piano moan with melody, oh blues. Swaying to and fro on his rickety stool, he played that sad, raggy tune like a musical fool, sweet blues, coming from a black man's soul, oh blues. In a deep song voice with a melancholy tone, I heard that Negro sing, that old piano moan. Ain't got nobody in all this world, ain't got nobody but myself. I's gwine to quit my frownin' and put my troubles on the shelf. Thump, thump, thump went his foot on the floor. He played a few chords, then he sang some more. I got the weary blues and I can't be satisfied. Got the weary blues and can't be satisfied. I ain't happy no more, and I wish that I had died. Far into the night he crooned that tune. The stars went out, and so did the moon. The singer stopped playing and went to bed, while the weary blues echoed through his head. He slept like a rock or a man that's dead.
He's talking to himself. He's an Indian. He's got black brown hair hanging to his crack. He's wearing a plastic leather jacket cost $40. His party nose is broken many times. Up above his mustache, down below his bleary eyes and the matching beard, he's walking, talking to himself. It's okay, brother. Ain't nothing there can smother passion, spirit, pride. When you're talking to yourself, down deep inside are the grizzly bears and whales, who are the brothers that your grandpas ate while standing, singing in their boats in the blue-black waves. What language are you speaking to yourself? We're so different. You're so strange. I'm a different brother. We're mammals, brother, speaking to ourselves. I'm strange. What language are you speaking to yourself? Standing in the waves, in the icy blue-black waves, singing to the brothers that your grandpas ate. Down deep inside are the grizzly bears and whales. Passion, spirit, pride. When you're talking to yourself, can't be smothered. It's okay, brother. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. Up above my mustache, my party nose is broken many times. I'm wearing a plastic leather jacket cost $40. I'm talking to myself. I'm an Indian. I'm talking to myself. I'm an Indian. I'm an Indian. Indian.
Sure he is. That was Michael McClure singing, well, in a sense singing, chanting, intoning, reading his poem, Indian, with piano accompaniment by Ray Manzarek. The CD is called Love Lion. Before that, we heard Langston Hughes from a CD called The Voice of Langston Hughes. The songs, I keep calling them songs, and I guess they're right. The Negro Speaks of Rivers, I Too Am the Darker Brother, and The Weary Blues. Before that, we heard from Andrei Voznesensky's Anti-Worlds LP, which dates back sometime in the 60s. Oh, might even be 1956. That's the only date that's available anywhere. No, it's a little later than that. But anyway, from the early 60s, we heard the poem Goya, I Am Goya. It was first read in English by Stanley Kunitz and then in Russian by Voznesensky. And at the very beginning, the first dozen or so lines of the Aeneid, read by John F.C. Richards. We're going to turn now to the only organized part of this program. Last night and this morning, I pieced together a series of poems that were on poetry.org. And actually, is that correct? Is it poetry.org or poets.org? No, it's poets.org. And I picked out a number of things from their spoken section. There are hundreds of poems you can hear there. I picked a few for particular reasons, some because I knew the poems, some because I knew the poets, some because I'd never heard of them, and some because I clicked on them and they sounded pretty nice. There's actually only two poems I think I know before, and they are two of the best-known ones by those individual poets. There are a couple of people I've never heard. I never heard their names, even. And then there's a number of people I'm familiar with, but not necessarily these poems or these versions. Anyway, this is going to last about a little over 25 minutes, and what we're going to hear are Ed Orchester reading The March of the Penguins, Maxine Kuman, Purgatory, William Carlos Williams for Elsie, Wanda Coleman, American Sonnet 35, August Kleinsaler, Tranter in America, Kim Adonisio, What Do Women Want? And we're going to hear Clayton Eshelman reading his translation of Cesar Vallejo's number 13, Darcy Dennegan, Sentimental Atom Smasher, Robert Bly, Poem for Marvell, Rita Dove, Reunion 2005, and again Rita Dove, Weathering Out. I've got two of those because she is going to be appearing at the California Lecture Series at the Crest Theater in Sacramento next week. I'll give you more information about that in a little bit. And then Jim Powell reading his translation of Sappho's Artfully Adorned Aphrodite, and then three poems by the current Poet Laureate of the United States, Kay Ryan, whose poems are very short. The longest of these is a minute and 2 seconds. And then finally, W.S. Merwin, who was recently awarded the Pulitzer Prize in Poetry, on top of dozens of others, reading a poem called My Friends. So this is my kitchen counter selection of some interesting contemporary poetry.
March of the Penguins. This has an epigraph from the New York Times of September 05. The quote is, the editor of National Review urged young Republicans to see the movie because it promoted monogamy. A widely circulated Christian magazine said it made a strong case for intelligent design. March of the Penguins. What the hell are they going to do now with the libidinous bluebird who lines up a couple of extra girlfriends every summer? Not to mention the evil house wrens. Don't be fooled by their cheery little calls. They have up to 5 mates at a time. I won't even mention the gay rabbits we had once, in love with one another's ears, etc. And even now, my old friend Walter may be declaiming how God planted dinosaur bones to test the faith of Christians with the appearance of evolution, thereby demonstrating once again we are the first country to pass from barbarism to decadence without an interlude. And as for intelligent design, even Britney Spears wouldn't drop her eggs at 70 below.
Purgatory. And suppose the darlings get to Mantua. Suppose they cheat the crypt. What next? Begin with him unshaven. Though not, I grant you, a displeasing cockerel, there's egg yolk on his chin. His seedy robe's a flap. He's got the room. Poor dear, the cooking lard has smoked her eye. Another Montague is in the womb, although the first babe's bottom's not yet dry. She scrolls a weekly letter to her nurse, who dares to send a smock through Balthazar, and once a month, his father posts a purse. News from Verona, always news of war. Such sour years it takes to right this wrong, The fifth act runs unconscionably long.
To Elsie. The pure product of America go crazy. Mountain folk from Kentucky, or the ribbed north end of Jersey with its isolate lakes and valleys, its deaf mutes, thieves, old names, and promiscuity between devil-may-care men who have taken to railroading out of sheer lust of adventure, and young slatterns bathed in filth from Monday to Saturday, to be tricked out that night with gauds from imaginations which have no peasant traditions to give them character, but flutter and flaunt sheer rags, succumbing without emotion save dumb terror, under some hedge of chokecherry or viburnum, which they cannot express, unless it be that marriage, perhaps with a dash of Indian blood, will throw up a girl so desolate, so hemmed round with disease or murder, that she'll be rescued by an agent, reared by the state and sent out at 15 to work in some hard-pressed house in the suburbs, some doctor's family, some Elsie. Voluptuous water, expressing with broken brain the truth about us, her great ungainly hips and flopping breasts addressed to cheap jewelry and rich young men with fine eyes, as if the earth under our feet were an excrement of some sky, and we degraded prisoners destined to hunger until we eat filth, while the imagination strains after deer going by fields of goldenrod in the stifling heat of September. Somehow it seems to destroy us. It is only an isolate flex that something is given off. No one to witness and adjust. No one to drive the car.
There's a long silence here, but it's almost over.
Spooky ripplings of icy waves. This umpteenth time she returns. This invisible woman, long on haunting, short on ectoplasm. Oh, your good man, sister, a lover sighed so long ago. Keep your oil slick and your motor running. Wretched stained mirrors within mirrors of fractured webbings, like nests of manic spiders, reflect her ruined mane. Rue wiggles, remorse squiggles, woe giggles bestride her. Oozy man is spill out yonder, spooling in night's lofty hour. Exudes her gloom and spew in rankling odor of heady dour. As she strives to retrieve flesh, to cloak her bones again, to thrive, to keep her poison in alive. Oh, used to be young, used to be gifted, oh, still black.
In the jelly, jam, and hair care aisle of the Waikiki Safeway, as if in a capsule whose walls bear decals, or Waikiki's foodland, as if in a capsule whose walls bear decals, a shattered fresco, Fatty Arbuckle sipping a Coke at the St. Francis Hotel, etc. The man from Maruya, a world then a world away again from the chrysanthemums at the farm's eastern gate, is turned inward by the Percy Faith Strings arrangement of an especial old favorite, Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues. Iridescent oil pouring from the overhead speakers, lubricating the sentiment, we're all, each of us, one, softening. And put somehow more at ease by the very available and high-gloss kitsch the big enchilada loves you to hate. Or, out on the highway 4 miles from town on a stool in the snack bar of Empire Lanes, sneering as the pins go down all at once and on cue with an almighty crack radiating out from Pawtucket to Geyserville. And you knock back a codeine between gulps of fries as a TV overhead shows a rerun of Kojak you saw a decade ago in a Canberra motel. You're drifting. Drifting ever further from Frank O'Hara's Lower East Side flat where you sit daydreaming. It is 1959 and you're staring out the window at a Finney Bel Air, scarred rather nicely by kids or sleet, parked on a billboard across the street, kitty-corner to Anitic's. The orange drink tumbling and roiling in its smudged plastic tank. A slow, piss-scented elevator ride up from the cavern Grendel in war paint flashes and roars through, and from which the frail sonneteer and critic of ballet will emerge in 23 minutes to knock ever so delicately. Just in time for a spot of Jim Beam to keep off the chill, the 1st of September, as Frank puts the final touch to poem, the one beginning, Khrushchev is coming on the right day, then kicks open this door to his study, and breathless as the young Rita Hayworth after a terrible fright cries out, we're on with de Kooning for a tequila sunrise at 8, then. How is everyone? All right.
What do women want? I want a red dress. I want it flimsy and cheap. I want it too tight. I want to wear it until someone tears it off me. I want it sleeveless and backless, this dress, so no one has to guess what's underneath. I want to walk down the street past Thrifty's and the hardware store with all those keys glittering in the window, past Mr. and Mrs. Wong selling day-old donuts in their cafe, past the Guerra brothers slinging pigs from the truck and onto the dolly, hoisting the slick snouts over their shoulders. I want to walk like I'm the only woman on earth and I can have my pick. I want that red dress bad. I want it to confirm your worst fears about me, to show you how little I care about you or anything except what I want. When I find it, I'll pull that garment from its hanger like I'm choosing a body to carry me into this world through the birth cries and the love cries, too. And I'll wear it like bones, like skin. It'll be the goddamn dress they bury me in.
I think about your sex. My heart simplified, I think about your sex. Before the ripe daughterloin of day. I touch the bud of joy, it is in season, and an ancient sentiment dies, degenerated into brains. I think about your sex, furrow more prolific and harmonious than the belly of the shadow, though death conceives and bears from God himself. Oh, conscience, I am thinking, yes, about the free beast who takes pleasure where he wants, where he can. Oh, scandal of the honey of twilights. Oh, mute thunder. Ridnatatum!
So this guy walks into a bar and asks for a beer. Sorry, the bartender says, I only sell Atom Smashers. And the guy says, well, isn't that America for you? Every happy hour Nelson's a homemade physicist, and no thank you, just an ice cold one. But it's too late. Suddenly, he's on his butt in a ball field where handsome men are chasing a ball over grass. Sad grass, yellow like the hair of his once young mother. And again he says, no, thank you. I've seen this movie before. And the bartender says, it's a joke and you're inside its machine. Hey, the guy wants to say, I'm not the guy. I'm me. I'm just a guy who walked into a bar. I'm just a guy who retreats to his car for a private cry. Instead, he sniffs and cries out, the sky smells like the bologna from when I was a boy. Ah, says the bartender. Ah, yes. Someone has left the refrigerator door of the cosmos open a crack. And the view, cries the guy. The beauty of an Atom Smasher, says the bartender. Even from the cheap seats, you see clear into 1952. And the guy, squinting into the distance, starts to bawl. Maybe it's the vendors hawking commemorative popcorn, or the programs promoting emotion, the matter of the universe, printed on material whose pulp was milked from the trunk of a wine-sap apple tree. But what's the matter, says the bartender. And the guy says, I'm confused. Am I allowed to be homesick in a joke? Yes, the bartender says. It's elemental, the bartender says. How streets are downtrodden atoms, and falling leaves are a flutter atoms, and bears over the moon atoms. The moon's an atomizer of all matter's perfumes. And the guy starts to parse it out. Wait, I'm not smart, but if emotion's a material substance, then when a leaf falls in my lap and I hold it like an about-to-be-abandoned baby, I'm touching a flutter in 3D. Dear fluttering leaf, streets, I'm sorry for stepping on you, apples for coring you, and beer. A guy walks into a bar. Actually, just the beer-drinking bleachers of a ball field, and says, is this some kind of joke? Well, says the bartender, who has observed the little lamb and the tiger burning bright and tickled their particulates, because your life has lately been stagnant, we have yoked you to a joke, and we await the gasp that will gas up the cosmos. Just then, there's a hit at the plate, and it's going, gone to smash the guy in the skull. And since baseballs are made of nostalgia atoms, the guy with concussion says, I want to buy a Coke for a nickel. I want to install apple pie perfume makers in the crotch of every tree. Bartender, bring me dried nosegays. Start the stalwart pageants. And the moon spritzing its perfumes, and the phlegm is thick and fast. And the bartender says, time to wallow in byproducts. Where we planted peanut shells, we got shaky, palsied trees. Where we planted nickel Cokes, we got nicked cans. Where we planted baseballs, we grew large, sad eyeballs as we watched for something to grow. Still, still, we atom probe. In a dark building, a child is about to be born. The smell of bread is about to break. And our guy is going, oh, spring evenings, how I used to stand yelping in the alley by the bakery. Who are these boys throwing baseballs? Who is this baby? Oh, bartender, tell me, what is the message in this light rain? But the bartender's dark eyes are flying over center field, over the rooftops and water towers of the joke's universe, over alleys and cold valleys of refrigerator light, toward an aptest eve where these street kids are hauling a ball into the moonlight, and the moonlight is curdling into Freon.
Tell Tristan the tip of his tongue is beautiful. Tell the lovers they are blessed. Tell me my poems are promises made 1,000 years ago. People who adore literature often say that fall is the best of all seasons. Erasmus loved Latin, heavy seas, masts breaking, ships going down. Twice this morning, I've kissed Marvell's book. He's glad for the mourners, whose eyes are blessed by grief, who, quote, weep the more and see the less. I know that these poems mean that I'm beginning to get rid of the traces. But at this rate, I'll still be washing the floor when the flood comes. Every drop of water has inside it the strange, mad longing to be the ocean. I don't need to say why every grass blade is so thin. Robert, your take on the fall is right. Those studying the Kabbalah gain so much from the story of Ruth gleaning barley stalks in the dust.
Reunion 2005. 30 seconds into the barbecue, my Cleveland cousins have everyone speaking Southern. Broadened vowels and dropped consonants, whoops and caws. It's more osmosis than magic, a sliding thrall back to a time when working the tire factories meant entire neighborhoods coming up from Georgia or Tennessee, accents helplessly intact. While their children, inflections flattened to match the field they thought they were playing on, knew without asking when it was safe to roll out a drawl. Just as it's understood, potluck means resurrecting the food we've abandoned along the way for the sake of sleeker thighs. I look over the yard to the porch with its battalion of ants, the wavering ranks of uncles at the grill. Everywhere else, hordes of progeny are swirling, and my cousins are yakking on as if they were waist-deep in quicksand, but like the books recommend, aren't moving until someone hauls them free. Who are all these children? Who had them, and with whom? Through the general coffee tones, the shamed jeans cut a creamy swath. Cherokee's burnt umber transposed onto generous lips, a glance flaring gray above the crushed nose we label anonymous African. It's all here, the beautiful geometry of Mendel's peas and their grim logic. And though we remain clearly divided on the merits of okra, there's still time to demolish the cheese grits and tear into slow-cooked ribs so tender we agree they're worth that extra pound or two our menfolk swear will always bring them home. Pity the poor soul who lives a life without butter. Those pinched knees and tennis shoulders and hatchety smiles.
Weathering out. She liked mornings the best. Thomas gone to look for work, her coffee flushed with milk, outside autumn trees blousy and dripping. Past the seventh month, she couldn't see her feet, so she floated from room to room, house shoes flapping, navigating corners in wonder. When she leaned against the door jamb to yawn, she disappeared entirely. Last week, they had taken a bus at dawn to the new air dock. The hangar slid open in segments, and the Zeppelin nosed forward in its silver envelope. The man walked it out gingerly, like a poodle, then tied it to a mast and went back inside. Beulah felt just that large and placid, a lake. She glistened from cocoa butter smoothed in when Thomas returned every evening nearly in tears. He'd lean an ear on her belly and say, "Little fellow's really talking," though to her it was more the pock, pock, pock of a fingernail tapping a thick cream lampshade. Sometimes during the night, she woke and found him asleep there, and the child sleeping, too. The coffee was good, but too little. Outside, everything shivered in tin foil. Only the clover between the cobblestones hung stubbornly on, green as an afterthought.
Artfully adorned, Aphrodite, deathless, child of Zeus and weaver of wiles, I beg you, please don't hurt me, don't overcome my spirit, goddess, with longing. But come here, if ever at other moments hearing these my words from afar you listened and responded. Leaving your father's house, all golden you came then, hitching up your chariot. Lovely sparrows drew you quickly over the dark earth, whirling on fine-beating wings from the heights of heaven down through the sky, and instantly arrived. And then, oh, my blessed goddess, with a smile on your deathless face, you asked me what the matter was this time. what I called you for this time, what I now most wanted to happen in my raving heart. Whom this time should I persuade to lead you back again to her love? Who now, O Sappho, who wrongs you? If she flees you now, she will soon pursue you. If she won't accept what you give, she'll give it. If she doesn't love you, she'll love you soon now, even unwilling. Come to me again and release me from this want past bearing. All that my heart desires to happen, make it happen. And stand beside me, goddess, my ally.
The chickens are circling and blotting out the day. The sun is bright, but the chickens are in the way. Yes, the sky is dark with chickens, dense with them. They turn, and then they turn again. These are the chickens you let loose, one at a time and small, various breeds. Now they have come home to roost, all the same kind, at the same speed.
I thought I'd offer you a really brief explanation of time. This is called The Edges of Time. It's kind of a long poem for me. It is at the edges that time thins. Time, which had been dense and viscous as amber, suspending intentions like bees, unseizes them. A humming begins, apparently coming from stacks of put-off things or just in back. A racket of claims now as time flattens. A glittering fan of things competing to happen. Brilliant and urgent as fish when seas retreat. As though the river were a floor, we position our table and chairs upon it, eat, and have conversation. As it moves along, we notice as calmly as though dining room paintings were being replaced, the changing scenes along the shore. We do know, this is the Niagara River, but it is hard to remember what that means.
The poem is called My Friends. My friends without shields walk on the target. It is late, the windows are breaking. My friends without shoes leave what they love. Grief moves among them as a fire among its bells. My friends without clocks turn on the dial, they turn, they part. My friends with names like gloves set out barehanded as they have lived, and nobody knows them. It is they that lay the wreaths at the milestones, it is their cups that are found at the wells, and are then chained up. My friends without feet sit by the wall nodding to the lame orchestra. Brotherhood, it says on the decorations. My friend without eyes sits in the rain smiling with a nest of salt in his hand. My friends without fathers or houses hear doors opening in the darkness, whose halls announce, "Behold, the smoke has come home." My friends and I have in common the present, a wax bell in a wax belfry. This message telling of metals, this hunger for the sake of hunger, this owl in the heart. And these hands, one for asking, one for applause. My friends with nothing leave it behind in a box. My friends without keys go out from the jails. It is night. They take the same road. They miss each other in the dark. They invent the same banner in the dark. They ask their way only of sentries too proud to breathe. At dawn, the stars on their flag will vanish. The water will turn up their footprints, and the day will rise like a monument to my friends, the forgotten.
That was W.S. Merwin reading My Friends, and in reverse order we heard three poems by Kay Ryan, The Niagara River, The Edges of Time, and Home to Roost. We heard Jim Powell reading his translation of Sappho's Artfully Adorned Aphrodite, Rita Dove reading Weathering Out and Reunion 2005, and Rita Dove will be appearing in about 2 weeks on the 13th of May at 7:30 p.m. at the Crest Theater as part of the California Lecture Series. Before that, Robert Bly read Poem for Marvell, Darcy Dennigan, Sentimental Atom Smasher. Clayton Eshelman read his translation of Cesar Vallejo's 13, Kim Adonisio, What Do Women Want? August Kleinsaler, Tranter in America, Wanda Coleman, American Sonnet 35, William Carlos Williams for Elsie, Maxine Kuman, Purgatory, and Ed Orchester, The March of the Penguins. This has been Booktown on KVMR FM in Nevada City. I'm Eric Tome. Before I get out of here, a couple of things to let you know. There's going to be a May Day into Summer Poetry of the Season reading on Thursday the 14th at 7 p.m. at the Broad Street Bistro and Gallery in Nevada City. The readers are Bill Lee and Charity Bryson, and the event is hosted by Q. Lauren Rue Smith. Going to go back to a couple of LPs as we get out of here. I won't bother with the names of the poems because I don't think we have time for that. Jimmy Accardi is breathing down my neck. So let's hear a few more, and then we're gone till next year.
'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and jimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves and the mome-raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxim foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the tulgey wood and burbled as it came. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day! Calloo, callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and jimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe.
The unpurged images of day recede. The emperor's drunken soldiery are abed. Night resonance recedes, night walker's song after great cathedral gong. A starlit or a moonlit dome disdains all that man is, all mere complexities, the fury and the mire of human veins. Before me floats an image, man or shade, shade more than man, more image than a shade. For a Hades bobbin bound in mummy cloth may unwind the winding path. A mouth that has no moisture and no breath, breathless mouths may summon. I hail the superhuman. I call it death in life and life in death. Miracle, bird or golden handiwork, more miracle than bird or handiwork. planted on the starlit golden bough, can like the cocks of Hades crow, or by the moon embittered, scorn aloud in glory of changeless metal, common bird or petal, and all complexities of mire or blood. At midnight on the emperor's pavement flit flames that no faggot feeds, nor steel has lit, nor storm disturbs, flames begotten of flame, where blood-begotten spirits come and all complexities of fury leave, dying into a dance, an agony of trance, an agony of flame that cannot singe a sleeve. Astraddle on the dolphin's mire and blood, spirit after spirit, the smithies break the flood, the golden smithies of the emperor. Marbles of the dancing floor break bitter furies of complexity, those images that yet fresh images beget, that dolphin-torn, that gong-tormented sea.
Mm-hmm.